Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Earth? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John, and Sue.
Welcome, it's Pottercast 172.
Hello,
all four of us are here, but two of us are in the same apartment.
Hello, New York. Hello, New York.
We have a great show for you. We are going to start our little three-week series where we're talking about Amazon.
Yes.
J.K. Rowling, Beetle the Bard. Yes, yeah, wonderful website. Beetle the Bard, where we're going to go over all the stories that are in it before it comes out. And then I'm sure after it comes out, we'll have more to say.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought it would be time to get some good discussion about it going.
Sweet.
So, we did Fortune, Fountain of Fair Fortune. The Wizard and the Hopping Pot. Not Hibbity Dibbity, that's next week. The Wizard and the Hopping Pot.
But
before anything else, we have a little word from our sponsor this week.
Ooh, we do.
We do.
Call it back, y'all.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. You can get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Go to audiblepodcast.com/pottercast for your free audiobook. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/pottercast.
All right.
Somebody else when are we going to get the audiobook for Harry a History?
I have no idea. We are working on it. They are trying.
I cannot wait. So I can get it on audible.com at some point when it comes.
That would be really funny.
Can you imagine how?
Melissa, I will read your audiobook in robot voice the whole time.
Oh no!
In what?
I will read your book in robot voice.
You should do like a page of you reading
for your audiobook.
Oh yes, Sue. What's in the news? What's our field of pod
news?
News. We're starting to hear. Actually, I mean, it's November now, and we're starting to just hear tiny bits and pieces about the actors speaking about the Deathly Hallows movie, which is kind of exciting. And we heard from Roddy Coltrane, who was at an awards, and he said that he's looking forward to his flying scenes, woohoo, as Hagrid and flying his motorbike, and I'm excited for that. And it's flying
He said it's going to be a Triumph 500.
Yeah, that's his bike.
What, is that the kind of motorcycle?
It's a type of motorcycle.
It looks more like a dirt bike than a full-on motorcycle to me. I don't know.
Really?
I mean, I know it is a motorcycle, but it's less hefty in the wheels than I've seen from, like, Harley Davidson's, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be funny if he, like, took a four-wheeler instead.
A four-wheeler?
I'd be so pissed.
A
four-wheeler?
Are they going to have, like, a sidekick, you know, like how, you know, motorcycles, I don't know. I always used to watch a show called Hogan's Heroes, and Colonel Klink had this old miner's motorcycle and a little sidekick thing to it. So is that what Hagrid or Harry's is going to be in? I mean, how are they going to put this dirt bike with Harry?
Yeah, like Batman and Robin.
Yeah, exactly. The bat cycle, that's right, John. Good thing. Sorry.
Honestly, I think they'll probably, my guess is that Harry will just be on the back.
Ace and Gary.
Sure.
I think they should have a Potter cycle mobile thing done. That would be awesome. Could put little flying like lightning bolts on the side. That'd be slick. Okay.
Awesome.
Somebody else who's doing it, and this is 4.5, but I didn't put it in there. But I'm just gonna say Emma Watson recently updated her website and said that she's rereading Deathly Hallows to prepare for next filming next February.
Good girl.
Nice.
Get Gambin to do it too.
Yeah.
Good girl.
And on number four news this week, Mr. Tom Felton, before he goes leaping out of the planes, we heard a couple interviews from him, and he said that he's looking forward to filming the fire. How do you say that word? Fire, fine, sin?
The fiend fire?
Fiend fire.
Thank you. I have it backwards in my notes because I'm brain dead. But that he's looking forward to it. And he says, yeah, I'm really looking to seeing my house, you know, and being sort of the house with Jason Isaacs and all the other Death Eaters that I work with in the film because they're all a great laugh. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Squeak.
Oh, Malfoy Manor is going to be awesome.
And
the fiend fire. That's going to be so much fun to do visually. Well, like the fire turning into all these animals.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Turns into fiends.
Mr. Feeny.
What a horrible Feeny word.
Mr. Feeny. Mr. Feeny Fire. Your homework.
That's amazing, though, that he's, you know, talk about that. Because if you think about that, that means Jamie's going to be... I don't want Jamie to be going away.
Well, I mean, he'll be okay. He's excited for it. He wants a death scene.
Isn't Crab... Yeah, he dies in that scene, right?
Yeah. It's a spectacular death, too. I hope they do it like that.
Yeah, he really... Honestly, Crab... Or, Crab, right?
Yeah.
He really... Steph no. is Goyle. I get...
Oh. It's great because he's Crab.
Crab, okay.
There's some serious acting in that scene, like hardcore lines.
I like when he's like, we've got... What's a diadem? I love it. I love it because it's great. It's the perfect thing. He always wanted a death scene, and he got to last till the last movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
He got to be in all the movies till the end of the last movie.
That's like,
and then have a death scene.
Better than Harry, almost. Better than Danrad.
No.
Except
but close.
Except that it's not.
Except that it's not. Slight drawback to your theory. It's not.
But still, that whole end scene can be so amazing. That whole Battle of Hogwarts, but that scene in particular can be just so dramatic. It's so well done if they do it.
I'm glad they're holding back on the big all-out Battle of Hogwarts in 6 because 7 should be this enormous...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're going to destroy all their sets. It's going to be amazing.
Oh.
No, I don't want them to. They need to make it into a museum.
It is. It's going into, hopefully, into that exhibition thing.
And the exposition.
Okay, Frankie, you need to pay attention to our next news piece. Here we go. Brace yourself.
Okay.
Harry Potter is no longer the top box office record holder in the United Kingdom. You know what it is? Your favorite movie, Frankie.
What?
Mamma Mia.
Shut
Mamma
up.
Mia is no... Yes. I can't believe it. I just... You know.
That's insane.
You know.
It's just...
I love England, and I love our British friend, but what are you thinking?
This should not be allowed.
Honestly, maybe we got a bad print, like, because we all watched it in the same theater. Maybe the guy out there, he messed it up or something. That's the only thing I can think of, because if they're seeing the movie that we saw, I do not understand what is going on.
Mm.
Is it because of Meryl Streep? Is it because of Julie Walters? Like, explain this to me.
I still can't even.
I don't even know.
But think about it. Okay, so, like, number one is Mamma Mia, but number two is Philosopher's Stone, 3 Chamber of Secrets, and number 4 is that full Monty movie, which I think Julie Walters is in that, right? Is that one? No, she's in Calendar Girls. Or is she, no, she's in Calendar Girls.
Oh, she's in Full Monty.
Oh, she is?
Check
I
it
think
out.
So.
Never seen that movie.
And then 5 is Order of the Phoenix, and 6 is Goblet of Fire, and 7 is Prisoner of Azkaban. I mean, look at that. Boom, 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 all the Potter movies. Then 8 is My Hero, Bridget Jones. And then 9 is another great movie, Love Actually. And number 10
is... So this
is
obviously all time, then.
Yeah, this is all time. And just think about that. And then here comes Mamma Mia. You kidding?
What?
Sorry.
Oh, she's not in the Full Monty. What am I talking about?
Yeah,
no, she's not.
Okay. But, I mean, I don't know. There's no Bond in there, but then there's Mamma Mia. Okay.
I'm sorry, dude. British people are great in many ways. I don't admire your taste in movies. I'm down. I'm done. Not there.
No. Okay.
So Love Actually being number 9 is pretty great, actually.
Actually.
It's so good. And, you know, Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman are both in it, and they're both just wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful.
That's a wonderful movie. I love it. It's very British. It's very British.
It's extremely British.
What's number 2?
Number 2, we've heard again from Potter producer David Heyman, who gave an interview, and he talked a little bit about the Half-Blood Prince film. And he said, yes, the movie's complete, but he said, actually, right now we're just mixing it, and there's a slight tweak we're going to do. No word on what that is. But he said they're not going to put the final print together because they're afraid of piracy. So they're going to do it just 6 weeks, you know, next year, right before the movie comes out.
It makes sense.
Really?
I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I don't blame them, but it's also like not trusting the people in your own.
Yeah.
Like obviously there's a leak, you know.
Do you guys hear me right now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, sorry.
But I mean that's amazing.
And the tweak, I don't know. What do you think the tweak is? Do you think that's just an excuse to say something that to get us all pumped up and talk about it?
Maybe he means a tweak in general. We're having a slight tweak, like we're going around fixing little things, tightening, you know.
Yeah.
I think if you have that long to look at the movie, you'd probably notice things that are the weak spots.
I mean, We don't know what kind of response they got from, I mean, we all saw those test screening reports that we had, you know, we talked about. So maybe there was some feedback from that that they've, we don't know, but I can't imagine what it is. I don't know.
Don't know.
So, let's think. Number one, something happened this week. What could it be?
Got a new president of the United States.
Yeah, that too.
What?
Oh, and speaking of that, Melissa was on the same paper of the newspaper on the front page of the USA Today with our new president.
Is that the weirdest thing you ever saw in your life?
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Harry History is out, and our friend Melissa Nelly is awesome. Okay.
It is available in stores, wherever books are sold, as they say.
Wherever books are sold. I bought mine in a store because I didn't want to go to Amazon. I wanted a receipt in my hand and pay at a cash register and be like, yeah, I know the person who wrote this. And they're like, really? And then I just slapped them because I'm like, why do you doubt me? And I walked away.
I wish the receipts had your name on it. That would be cool.
No.
It says Harry History.
Okay. Harry Hist. What happened that morning is that... What's that noise?
Music.
What was that?
I just heard guitars. Wasn't me.
I've got something playing on this computer. I don't know.
It was your music with Obama. That's it.
My music with Obama. Well, basically what happened is that I was interviewed for USA Today, and all I knew is that it would come out Monday or Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be really cool if it came out Tuesday because that was the day that the book was coming out, never thinking anything more than that. So Monday, it wasn't there. So I'm like, all right, great. Hopefully it'll be tomorrow. So then I wake up to a message from my sister. Now, Sue is sleeping in my bed because I've got like 10 people in the apartment. So Sue gets the bed spot.
Sue always gets the bed.
Uh-huh. I'm old and decrepit, that's why.
No. Because you're Sue.
Because you're Sue.
So I get the message from my sister. She goes, you're on the cover, call me back. And I thought she meant the cover of, like, the life section, you know? And so I called her back. I said, it's on the cover. She goes, yes, it's John McCain, Barack Obama, and you. And I just laughed. I just started laughing so hard. I was, like, unhinged. It was such a stupid sentence to ever hear, you know?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It's
it
crazy,
was awesome
though.
To watch it, though. I mean, it was just... so cool.
Sue was laughing too. We were just, it was hilarious.
Like, are you kidding? What?
I didn't believe it until I saw it. And then I called Cheryl, and I was on the phone with her as she approached a newsstand, and she's like, oh my God, Melissa, Barack Obama's grandmother got a smaller picture than you. And she's yelling. It was a really weird day. People I haven't heard from in 10 years emailing me saying, I just saw your face on the front of a newspaper. It was fun.
It was a nice article too, and they had that nice picture of you, and then, you know,
it was a nice article. I like how they said that I've read the book 3 times, but I should clarify, I've read the Harry Potter books like cover to cover, sitting down and reading them like any other reader 3 times. If I count how many times we have referenced them, I've read parts, I've searched in them, I've used them, I mean, it defies counting.
Right. So. Right. Exactly. I mean, look how long we're doing the bit by bits for each of those, you know, for the last 3 years, you know.
Yeah. But that's like sitting down and reading them from beginning to end, you know.
Right.
But it was nice. It's so funny because we talked for like 45 minutes, and it's so strange because I used to do this all the time with interviews that I did for 45 minutes. I would put out a story that represents like maybe 1% of what we talked about, and it was so weird to see it the other way around, mm-hmm. you know, just to see what we pulled. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, I had a reading on Wednesday in New York, and it was so much fun.
Yes, how was that? Was that just...
150 people came.
Wow.
It was wonderful. And it was so bizarre sitting there signing books, being like at the table that I've seen Joe sit at so long, uh-huh. and doing the thing, and people coming up to me, and then they talk to you, and you get to talk to them about the book, and they've read and enjoyed something that you've put out, most of them, which was so... Mm-hmm. So gratifying, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just so proud because a lot of my family and a lot of my staff were there, and it was great.
It was really cool.
It's just, I mean, you're a published author. You're not just our friend and colleague, podcaster. You're a published author.
Good. It's out. Go tell your friends if you enjoyed it, and don't if you didn't.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm very much kidding.
Thanks.
But I hope if you have it that you enjoy it. I'm very much enjoying all the emails and Facebook messages and comments and such that you're getting. I'm trying to answer them, but it's really hard. I'm going to be putting a lot more information and pictures and signing info on HarryHistory.com. And speaking of which, there is another reading scheduled for November 14th at the Barnes & Noble in Tribeca, New York. So if you miss this one, I'll be happy to see you there.
Cool.
Wow. Wow.
Tis cool.
You're like, huh? Yeah.
No, I'm excited, but all I do is squeeze, so I still think I should stop.
Oh, it was such a joy to have you guys here and celebrating this time. It's just really, really great.
She made the most delicious guacamole.
I did.
A vat of it. A barrel of guacamole.
So much that my 10 friends couldn't finish it.
It's true. Well, if you guys want to know what the recipe is of her guacamole, tune in to the wrap-up in a few minutes.
Sure.
I'll give you the wrap-up recipe.
All right, listen, let's go. We got to do the rest of the show, and then we'll do the wrap-up.
Wrap-up.
Bye.
Bye.
It's Beetle Talk.
Woo!
Beetle.
Who's Beetle? Beetle who? Beetle? The Beetle?
Beetle is Wormtail's character in Sweeney Todd, who goes to get shaved and get his head chopped off.
Oh. That was very quickly rendered. Very well done, John.
Thank you.
That was a very quick joke. It's true. His name is the Beetle.
It's true, but you just spoiled the movie for those who haven't seen it.
Oh, he does not get his head cut off.
Because that never happens in that
not
movie.
Not quite, anyway.
Sort of.
No one gets their hair cut off in that movie. No, it's weird, I realize.
So what
okay?
are we talking about? And basically, we have about 3 weeks until Beetle the Bard comes out, and we are going to start talking about each of the stories and what we know about them before we start talking about the actual stories once we all have the book in our hands.
Right.
Yes.
Awesome.
That sounds amazing.
I'm excited for this book. I can't even... I'm really excited. You know.
Oh, my gosh. Can't wait.
You know.
I just, reading through the stories again, I have to say, like, it just occurred to me, like, for all this time I've been operating under the idea that, like, it's just maybe each story is maybe a few pages long, because these summaries are only a few paragraphs, but, like, this is, like, a full-out, decently sized book, so each of these five stories...
It's a compilation of short stories by J.K. Rowling. How awesome is that?
I mean...
What was it that she said during her interview last year that at first she imagined Beetle the Bard to have 20, 30 stories in it, then when she had the idea of writing them out for 7 people, it quickly got down to 5 stories.
Right.
That's right, because you said that's why she mentioned the babbity-rabbity thing, because she thought it was just silly, and then when she actually had to write it, she's like, dang. Or she did actually, or something like that, right? Or no?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I wonder if that's just because she was handwriting them, though. Like, she could have said that.
That's what she said.
Right.
Handwriting. It's the handwriting. She doesn't mind about the writing.
Pop the computer out and make 28 more stories, Joe. What the hell?
Sure.
What are you waiting on?
Well, I mean, it should be enough.
We've all been
waiting patiently. The book itself is 128 pages that we're getting. At least it's Scholastic. I think it's the same for the Bloomsbury. But so I'll take it. 128 pages of new stuff. Bring it on.
I'm excited.
Oh, for sure.
And additional commentary by characters.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
So, yeah, 5 stories, that's over 20 pages a story.
I mean, that's
25
awesome.
25 pages a story. It's great.
I've just been, like, associating in my head Beetle and the Bard with, like, these little one-page stories.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, wow. Or just summaries, and now, like, we're actually going to, instead of reading a summary, we're actually going to hear, like, Joe's voice in it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get talking about it. What are we trying to talk about? The Wizard and the Hopping Pot.
The Hopping Pot. This is crazy.
Just to remind everybody, Beetle the Bard is the book that's inside Deathly Hallows that Dumbledore bequeaths to Hermione. And it is in runes in the book, and Hermione can't really translate it on the road, and they consult with Xenophilius Lovegood to find out about the story.
And it's pretty much like the Hans Christian Andersen of the Wizarding World. Like Ron knew about it. Like, yeah, of course we read it. You didn't read it? And then like, well, da, da, da. So it's pretty... I really like that concept.
The Wizard and the Hopping Pot.
I enjoy this because it's about a pot and a foot. Which is funny, you know.
Do you just find pots and foots funny?
I'm generally
I don't know. You know, it just, you know, she's so clever, and I love her play on words. You know, it's just so you hopping pot, you know, you think, what? And, of course, there's a foot.
Yeah.
That can.
And only she would imagine a pot with a foot growing out of it, you know. It's just, what amazes me about what we're hearing about these stories is how very different it is from Harry Potter type storytelling, and how easily she moved into fairy tale mode.
Right.
You know, these sound like fairy tales. They in the same kind of tropes and arcs and themes that we've read about in our own fairy tales. And I'm curious how if she read other fairy tales to prepare herself for writing these.
I just really like you said, it's just her ease in going into this type of storytelling, how it's very much allegorical and just kind of like the characters are there, and there's a simple message that you tell in a really like fun, fantastic way. Like the pot grows a foot so it can plague him, and it goes back. And like normally, that would be just someone else's. Like the pot takes a place of someone's conscience. Like he, instead of feeling guilty and being plagued by denying these people something he can help him with, this pot takes on that personality. You know, this pops around and constantly reminds him of what he's denying other people, that he has the means to help. And it's just really, really fun and interesting, and just it's something that like to distill it down into such a. Like a good narrative is just I can't wait to read it for the, like legitimately read it.
Well, isn't it maybe Melissa? This is not to your question, but isn't there like on pots or something? Don't like on the cauldrons? Don't they call those things footers or something?
Yeah. Pots and more likely cauldrons have feet.
Okay.
Little feet.
Yeah.
So it grows an actual
foot. Okay, good.
They do look a little like feet. Come to think of it, because I've seen. Yeah. So many pictures of darn cauldrons in all my days of trying to incorporate them.
Right.
You know what? It doesn't have feet. Broken bowls.
Okay.
So
awesome.
Don't you think it's amusing though? Like the things that happens. Like I don't know how much we want to talk about the spoilers, but there's talk about wards, and I immediately flashed onto Eloise. Whatever, when she had snitch on her face.
Oh, the
no, that's Marietta.
Oh, Marietta. That's
Marietta
right.
Edgecombe.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Poor Eloise isn't far behind.
Sorry, Eloise.
You bitch.
No, but let's do a quick little summary. Basically, the Wizard and the Hopping Pot is about an elderly, kind old man who uses his lucky cooking pot to help the people in his village with all their ailments.
He's like Merlin.
When he dies, he leaves the pot to his son, and there's a slipper inside and a note that says, with the hope that you will never need it. So the slipper is at the bottom. The wizard is very much like a Malfoy. He's very selfish. He turns his back, and every time he turns his back on somebody, the ailment that person was complaining of, like for instance warts on their feet that they came to him with help for, the pot grows a foot with warts on it, and then you know it takes on all the ailments that he keeps telling people no to fixing, and it plagues him so much that eventually he calls all the people around and starts to cure their ails. Finally the pot empties and the slipper's at the bottom. He can put the slipper on the foot of the hopping pot and he goes off into the sunset.
Such a great story.
Does the pot?
Right, I know.
Is the pot what's doing the magic, or is like does this family have magic?
No, he's a wizard, like, and he used his magic, and he just called his cauldron his lucky pot, quote unquote, when he would help the people in the village.
You know, it's curious. The wizard knows what the slipper would be used for, and it makes me wonder if he used to be like that young man.
Yeah, I was thinking that just now too, because it's like, then how did he get the foot to go away? At some point, you know?
Well, I think he just knew that if you didn't do what you, like, live up to your responsibilities, the pot would plague you, and, like, by growing a foot and, like, following you around and chasing you. You couldn't escape.
You think that was written on the box when he bought the pot?
I think he probably enchanted his cauldron.
Oh.
Or
why would he enchant his own cauldron to have, like, that little security?
Because he cared for the townspeople. It's a moral responsibility to try to teach his son, and so.
Yeah.
It doesn't occur to me that he enchanted it that way.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Well, I'm saying someone did.
It feels like. Yeah.
He went to Borgish and Blotz or whatever, and went to the merchandise section and.
Borgish and Blotz, John.
Yeah, or Bergens and Bergs, or.
I don't know. I thought if it was just like a magical item, like, you know, what's those, like, the Lucky Charm with the little leprechauns? Don't they have, like, a magical pot?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah,
oh, that's true.
You know? I don't know. So maybe, I don't know.
Maybe the leprechauns made it.
I love what the Amazon review says about this. The sun is besieged with more visitors. It takes a few tears, some vomit, and a whining dog before the wizard. You can just imagine the things that she's coming up with. And that's what's going to be wonderful to read about, all these wonderful images that she's created. But only Joe can put together a few tears, some vomit, a whining dog, a foot on a pot with warts, and somehow get to a moral ending.
Yeah.
So I have to laugh, though, because I'm such a big goober. At the end of it, there's a line that says, out pops a mysterious slipper, the one that perfectly fits the foot of the Nalkaya Five. Isn't that like the Cinderella slipper?
It is.
Funny
little Cinderella twist.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought it was kind of cute.
And then he fell in love with the pot, and they lived happily ever after.
Yeah, John.
In the castle.
Well, they do hop off into the sunset together.
Well,
do they? See, yeah, I think it'd be fun if the foot was strong enough to ride in the pot and have, like, the thing, like, use it as a vehicle.
Oh, he could, like...
Hotmobile?
Really?
If the foot was strong enough to lift the wizard while he was riding in the pot to, like, to hop around the city.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It'd be amusing.
It's a magic foot, you'd think it would be able to.
How big do you guys imagine the pot?
Mm. I see it big enough to be ridden in, like I just suggested.
Interesting.
I wonder if it could change.
Do you see it smaller?
Yeah,
I see it smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was too small, then why don't we just put it in like a cupboard or like a chest and forget about it?
It would hop around.
It sounds like it's strong enough to get out, John.
Well, what if you put it in like a Mad-Eye Moody chest?
Yeah. It's like a Ouija board. It's going to get out and it's going to haunt you.
Your Ouija board
just comes out of the closet on its own?
No, there's that stupid myth that if you throw out a Ouija board, it's going to like appear at your doorstep the next day.
Oh, it's creepy.
If you throw out a... Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's what kids tell each other to scare each other.
I want
to
try it.
It's scary.
I will disapprove. I'll bust that myth, Mythbusters Pottercast style.
Okay. I think I've thrown out a Ouija board.
We should have a little Mythbusters segment on Pottercast.
About what?
Ouija boards.
About Ouija boards. But we'll think of one for after that. Like Harry Potter myths.
Oh, I have a myth. I have a myth to bust, but I'll bust it in the end.
Okay.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Well, I think it's cool.
I've been watching the reporters play telephone with a quote of mine. It's been pretty amusing.
Aww. Oh, yes. So. Yes, that's good. Okay.
It's just so with a quote of yours?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but we'll...
Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
Let's do it at the end.
Yeah. Brizzle. Okay, we good.
All right.
So this is awesome. So that's a fabulous story. I think it's awesome. I can't wait to read, because they talk about clang, 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 and I want to know what that's about, because it reminds me of, what's his name? Poe, Edgar Allan Poe.
Well, there must be people banging on the pot or something, or the pot banging on something else or just bothering him, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. Yay! A couple more weeks, and we can read it all. I'm excited.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about the Fountain
this
of
Fair Fortune
now, right?
This is the one I like,
now, right?
Yeah. Yes. This is awesome.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. A good story. Okay. Fountain of Fair Fortune.
Fountain of Fair Fortune.
I have to say, I really like the picture, even before we get to it. When we first got the previews of this, when Amazon was buying it and they put this up, this was like one of my favorite ones. It was just beautiful fountain, all sparkly.
I didn't see the artwork.
It just made me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe did...
I didn't see the artwork for that one yet. I'm excited to see it.
Oh, okay.
Well, when I picture this, I visualize the fairy fountain in Zelda when it goes down there into the fairy fountain, all the fairies swirl around.
Oh, what is the music?
Oh my god, yes.
It's really pretty.
What's the music for
I'm
that?
Looking for the picture. Hang on.
We have an art.
God, this book is gorgeous. I'm just looking. I'm looking over the Amazon pictures.
Oh, yes.
And it's so amazing. I just remember, I get to tell this story. Did I tell this on Pottercast before?
You're about
I had like a embarrassment of riches. It was the week I was interviewing Joe. I was also in London and Sotheby's as a thank you for directing so many visitors to their website emailed me and said, if you're in London, we'd love to meet you. You know, whatever. And so I said, yeah, I'd love to come meet you. Show us some of the catalogs you have. I get there and the guy comes down with Beetle the Bard. Now at Joe's, she had just shown me Beetle the Bard. So they bring out Beetle the Bard and I start laughing hysterically. They're like, why are you laughing? I said, because I've now held two of these in my hands and I feel like something's wrong with the world.
Melissa.
You know what I mean? It was really funny. It felt like no, I should leave and I should get another Harry Potter fan and just stick them right here because it was unfair. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they were so excited to show me and they were so great. But it came down in this like armored box and it was velvet lined and the guy had white gloves on and I didn't want to touch it. You know, it was all
so cool.
Thing.
Can you say what page did you see? I mean, when you were there at Sotheby's, that must have been
it was
like
it was a You know, I made a tactical error because it was a mistake. What I tried to do was look at it all instead of looking at a couple of pages, so I couldn't remember anything when I was done because I was just like, oh, look at that page, look at that page, look at that page. I want to just sit here and read it. Can I just sit here and read it? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
You know.
What a tease.
But it was really nice. No, I said, what would happen if I just picked this up and ran out of here? They're like, you would not make it.
Okay. This is a weird question. Was it heavy? Did it feel heavy?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay, wait, I have a question. What kind of paper is it?
It's comfortable in your hands, a little book. It looks like you carved it right out of a tree.
What kind of paper
was
it?
Honestly, it's a very grainy, absorbent paper. It's very, very thick.
Was it soft?
Very, very thick paper. It's like... Do you ever get the notebooks that are frayed around the edges and they seem like the paper is really just not very processed?
Yeah, like if you were to fold the page, would it fold or would it crack?
Ooh, good question.
It would fold, but if you folded it back and forth a few times,
it would crack or tear.
Wow.
Oh, frack.
I'm sorry. I'm just really getting technical. I'm sorry. Go.
I don't know.
That's a legitimate answer.
Okay.
Wow. That must have been so exciting just to be there and all those guys looking at you and you're like, woo-hoo!
It was weird. I just laughed because we're sitting in the middle of Sotheby's and everybody's just going about their business and nobody realizes that this book I'm sitting on a table with is... And the guy who brought it down, oddly enough, is the same guy we spoke to back in 2002, 2003 for the Get a Clue drive.
Whoa.
Dr. Philip Arrington, yep. It was cool. It was like a nice turnaround moment, you know, where he could finally show me the item. Let's talk about the Fountain of Fair Fortune, shall we?
Okay, Fountain. Melissa, you just flipped me out. Twice you held that book.
I'm sorry, but it was I never told that story because, until I didn't know if the book was going to come out. It would be kind of mean.
Yeah.
You know? So,
it would be kind of mean.
And you want to know something hilarious is that right after Joe showed me the story, that night I got a call from Entertainment Weekly asking me what I thought was in the book and what I thought it would look like and who I thought it would go to. And I just was like, you're kidding me. And so I just, you know, considering it a privileged conversation, I just acted like I hadn't seen it yet,
you know?
And I said this to Joe the next day, and she was like, no. I said, yeah, I swear. She goes, they were asking me how you know, what it would be like for a fan to hold it. And she goes, yeah, I imagine they were saying, wouldn't it be great if you could just hold it in your hand? It was very, very funny.
That is so.
OMG.
It was
I wonder if at that point they knew they were going to print that for all these people.
She said at the time, I will find a way to make sure the fans can read it. But she also said that to me at the time.
Wow.
So, yeah. She knew, you guys.
Did she not even retain a copy for herself? Like,
of course she retained it. I mean, she has it in her head. Why does she need a copy?
I wouldn't remember something word for word if I had written a book. Would you? Can you say your book word for word, Melissa?
I believe that there is a printed copy from which she copied it into the book. So
oh.
She probably typed it up so that she wouldn't make a mistake and then hand wrote him.
Ran a little spell check on it?
A spell? Like magic spells? What?
Oh, doodles.
I'm sure they have one in the house.
Doodles.
That way.
That would be so cool. And then Jessica could just go check that out anytime. Hey, Mom, mind if I borrow your book?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Fountain of Fair Fortune.
I bet Joe has an amazing library in her house.
God, John, me too. That
Sorry,
so
I'm just
awesome.
Thinking.
Okay.
I think it's more like there's books all around. I mean, I don't know.
You
I didn't
think
see
she
a
has
lot
like
of,
a house
a
that has like a crazy Hogwarts-style library?
No, like Beauty and the Beast.
No.
Yeah, it's like Beauty
I
and
wish.
The Beast.
Yes, completely.
No, her house is not like that. It's not a
No, just the library.
Well, you can have that room.
The
just
library.
That room. If you like it that much, it's yours.
Just think for all those volumes of different things, you know, all the history of the Death Eaters and all those different things that, you know, the Book of Hufflepuff. I want that. There's got to be one somewhere.
What was that book about the Death Eaters called originally?
Those
notes?
The Knights of Walpurgis or whatever. That's what they were called.
Knights of Walpurgis.
Wait, what is this? I've never heard of this.
The Knights of Walpurgis is what the Death Eaters used to be called.
I didn't know that.
Before.
The Knights of Walpurgis?
Wow. That's a good name for them.
Walmart purchases.
Walpurgis. Walmart purchases.
You know, it fits. It fits, though, because you think, especially the Malfoys, all about the money. So digressing, but oh man, see, I love this. This is what we do. This is how we really are. We sit and we talk about these things, and it's so exciting.
You know, it was so funny because we just came back from a week of being at Melissa's for her book, and lots of staff members were there, and I get there and we start talking about some kind of Potter thing. And they all just turn and look at us, and they're like, "It's like you're doing a show." It's like, "No, you don't get it." The show
they even
is
said,
just,
like,
just taping
exactly.
us.
Some of them are like, "Do you realize you're not being recorded? Like, stop acting." We're like, "No, this is what
this
we're
is
like.
How we
this
are.
Is it." The show is more like.
And we were at that one Halloween party. I was like, "We
jokes.
Should do a kind of conundrums on." We were dancing, and I was like, where Fox went?
Yeah.
And then Melissa was like, okay. And then Addie was all like, is that how it works? We're like, pretty much.
Yes, pretty much. That's how it happens, yeah.
That's it. Yes. Even the Mootchka jokes and everything.
Mootchka jokes.
Leave her alone. She is tuckered out, this poor cat. She's laying on her bed, just totally curled up into a ball.
I got to pet her the other day.
And
she
did
totally
insistent.
Freak out, but then last night she totally freaked
you
out.
You kissed her, too. You kissed her,
I
too.
Did kiss her.
Oh, you got kisses. Mm-hmm. I got to scratch her ears, and there was no problems there.
Good.
Wow.
Yeah. I gave her a toy for Halloween.
You did, a little monkey.
My little
Your little friend, Abu. Who?
The Fountain of Fair Fortune.
Oh, okay. We
hey,
back.
We're back
okay.
in the wrap-up.
There's pixie dust in this
the Fountain
story.
Of Fair
like pixie
Fortune. The Fountain of Fair Fortune is about the...
About three witches.
It's about a fountain... that is supposed to give the person who bathes in it fair fortune for the rest of their lives, and so every year one person gets to bathe in it, and this story is about three people who tried to get to this fountain together. One is luckless in love, one has medical problems, one has money problems, and then the knight that they accidentally bring into the garden with them is called, he's sort of luckless, he's got no luck in basically anything, and they have this magical journey to the fountain, and then they learn a moral.
Yeah, and they have like the hero trials, the three things they have to get through, and it's like each one represents each person's plight, and that person actually overcomes it, and at the end they realize that they can accomplish these goals on their own through helping each other. So it's such a I wish I could do that. Just take such simple context, concepts, and like that are just so strong on their own accord, and weave a story around them, and just with such, so great.
You know,
it also Amazon really. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, what are you going to say?
I was going to say because it just when Frank was talking about her ability to take these concepts, you know, I mean, to me it just strikes back to the heart of so many things that you hear both in like history and religion and things. I mean, the fountain of like the miracle at Lourdes, or I think it's Lourdes, but you go and or you know getting healed, and then of course like the fountain of youth and all these kind of things that you want to you seek this being healed through water, you know, or and it's amazing to me that Joe took that and has it in this fairy tale concept and made these amazing real ambitions. I mean, I don't know. I just thought it was like I just wanted to echo what Aunt Frack just said. This
awesome.
Sorry.
Well, Amazon made a great point. It says, as in her novels, Rowling emphasizes that the true power lies within, not merely in a wand and in a mind, but in a heart. Yeah. Faith, trust, and love guide her characters, give her characters the strength to meet the challenges before them. I mean, it's true, just like in the books. The magic is the window dressing. The magic is not the point.
Right.
The point is what you use the magic to do and what it says about your personality.
Yeah.
What I find interesting in that both these stories is there seems to be a more loose set of boundaries between magical people and muggles. It's like
there was
a wizard that helped out all the muggles.
Yeah.
And then there was, you know, the witches that are completely open to bringing this muggle into this magical area.
Are you sure he was helping muggles?
Who?
The wizard and the
Hoppy Talker. That's
what it says. That's how I read it anyway.
Muggles.
I mean, if they're magical people themselves, I don't understand why they needed help of this guy.
Because they just can't.
I got the impression that he was helping the muggles in his village. And that's why he called it his quote-unquote lucky pot, because they didn't really understand the magic aspect of it.
Yeah, good point on that.
Okay. But yeah. Yeah, it seems to be a time when there was no real organization, because it was like ancient, you know, it was further in the past, so there was no real organization of the wizarding community.
Yeah.
Just sometimes somebody was a witch. It was before persecution, you know?
And, you know, it's fairy tale, too, so.
I just keep reading this. If you haven't had a chance, the summaries are on Amazon.com, and they have a beautiful page for it, and you can go read a lot of these. But they are kind of spoilery effect, but there's not, and there's so much we will more want to know. Because, like, I like these names, the three A's. Are they all A's, the witches?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. It's like asthma and...
Not asthma.
Asthma.
Are you kidding me, asthma?
I thought there was one named asthma.
No,
she
her
was
name is
one that
Asha.
Had trouble breathing.
She's sick of a malady no healer could cure.
Yeah.
The second is Alfeda, who was robbed and humiliated by a sorcerer. Mm-hmm. Then Amada was deserted by her love, which makes... That's an interesting name, because the AM prefix is love, and then ATA, I've seen in other words, that's to mean a lack.
Oh.
You know, and especially in Latin and Italian, and that is usually included in a word that means some sort of lack.
Wow.
If I'm right, I think it's like a hunch. I haven't researched it before this, but yeah.
Cool.
So it's curious, lack of love,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She's just very, very...
Awesome. Awesome.
Brilliant thing.
It's amazing.
And it's very fairy tale, all three A's.
Yeah.
You know, all their names magically start with A.
Yeah.
Then you have Sir Luckless.
Sir Luckless.
And they face all these trials, and the best thing about it is that they all get what they're searching for before they get to the fountain, so they let the knight go into the fountain, and they never, ever realize that the fountain had no magical properties whatsoever.
Yeah.
That the garden just makes them come to their
own. Yeah, it's the journey, not the destination.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people need to
there's no
that.
Magical cure.
Right.
It's like, you know, you can...
So wait, this fountain was in a hidden garden, right? Like the secret garden book of, like, locked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the giant fat worm.
But it's project... Really? Giant fat worm? I missed that.
That's the first thing they had to get through.
Worm.
A big white worm who was blind and something like that, and they had to prove that he had lost.
Eyes?
And then there was the mountain they had to scale, but they only could scale it through helping, by cheering their comrades. And then the river where they had to give up their past and realize they have to let go of their past to go into the future. Such great concepts!
It is. Frankie, you could draw so many good things from this, dude.
I want to. I'm going
no
to.
Pressure's on you. No
yeah.
Pressure's on you.
It's so deceptively simple.
That's a great way of putting it, Melissa. It's
like
deceptively simple. Because she distills it so well. And you have to know what you're doing if you're going to distill it down to those simple elements. You know what I mean? And not lose it. Ugh. Sorry.
Frankie, I just have something really fun we could do.
What?
Once this comes out, I just have something really fun we could do. Like, if you could draw all, like, the characters and, like, the backgrounds and stuff, we could totally, like, animate little shorts based on each story.
Like some extras on the vlog?
Whoa.
They'd be insanely big, awesome things. It'd be beyond...
That'd be fun to get into.
Vlog.
Yeah, but we post them on Leaky, and
yeah.
You know what I mean? But we should...
Wow.
I mean, that's an easy way to host them.
Totally. Oh, that'd be so fun.
It would be fun to get into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But these are so inspiring, though, too. You know, people would like to use these as, like, I find these, the two stories we've read so far, so very inspiring, you know? I mean, they're just kind of like a reminder, and yet, at the same time, that's cool. Mm.
Yeah, and it's lovely that these are three women who are who are strong and have their own talents without needing the help of the man.
Right.
They help the man, actually.
Yeah. They're luckless.
Yeah.
Because we're just useless, us men.
Well, it is a fairy tale.
Not useless. No, John, fairy tales are usually the other way around.
Yeah.
Fairy tales that we've grown up on are usually the knight coming to rescue, and it's so
mm-hmm.
nice that without being condescending about it, it seems, it's very,
yeah.
It's just these are three women, and these are how strong they are. Not making it an aberration that they're so strong. This is just, these are three strong women.
I know, I'm just giving you a hard time.
It's like Mulan. It's like Mulan, the only Disney movie where the girl takes over and helps the
Who?
Day.
And has her parents. Mulan.
Mulan? Oh, Ariel saved
yeah.
Eric.
That's
yep.
true. But then he
and
saved
beauty,
Ariel.
Beauty helped.
Yeah.
And look
I mean,
at look at
Disney
look at Jasmine.
Mom.
Jasmine's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But this we're talking about modern day Disney. Let's talk about Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella.
No. I get what you're saying. I'm just saying. But that was a point that Disney made in the early 90s to make more the heroines actual heroines, not just damsels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
That's true.
All right, so next week, which two are we going to talk about? The Warlocks, Harry Hart, and Babbity Rabbity and her cackling
yeah.
stump.
Yeah, Hibbity Dibbity and the stump.
Hibbity Dibbity. And then the last week we will talk about the Tale of Three Brothers all by itself.
Yeah, because we know a lot about that one. This is so much fun. This is like before Book 7 came out.
No, it's about before.
And I didn't get to play on the show with you guys before then, so it's like when I used to listen to it.
Aww.
Doodle.
Would you let Frankie have his own
We need
segment?
A oodle name for Sue.
What? Why? Is mine now Google?
Yeah, you're Google.
Yours is Google.
Because you're internet. You're a web mistress.
Yeah.
I'm the internet. You guys are not, but I
You're a web mistress, and I draw,
you live
so
on
I'm
the internet,
Google.
So you weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I eat, so I'm
strudel.
You're strudel.
And then Sue could be...
Sue is... Goodle.
No.
Soodle.
Squeedle.
It takes a while to come up with these, so don't get discouraged.
Okay. We took Melissa. It took a long time to get one from Melissa.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sure we'll have lots of suggestions from Scott.
Suggest
listeners.
A nickname for Sue that ends in
Oodle.
Oodle. That's the podcast challenge.
We week. Need oodles Weedle. And oodles of nicknames with doodles.
Yes.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.
Wait, we're goodbye? Okay.
Bye.
Well, we're going to go to the wrap-up. Awesome.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Audible has over 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and playback anywhere, just like Pottercast. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/Pottercast to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, go to audiblepodcast.com/Pottercast for your free audiobook. Melissa, I miss you. John, I miss you. Frankie, I miss you.
Miss
you, Susie.
We were in the same
Why
place.
Why am I so emotional? Yes, Frankie, we were.
It's like we can't exist in the same place for too long because the awesomeness that is there would destroy the world.
Well, like, it's dangerous for all of us to be in the same place at the same time because if something happens to one of us, then there's no more podcast. No one can continue it.
But yeah. you know what I learned this weekend? I'm never going on a subway or train with you, Frankie, and Melissa.
Oh my God, they just had a story.
Ever again.
It was amazing.
Oh, that creepy
John,
guy?
No, you have to hear the story.
Did you hear the story?
I don't think.
The good thing I wasn't a
okay,
murderer
so,
story.
Frack, you start.
Yeah.
Yeah, that story. Tell them.
You tell
them,
Melissa.
It's so great. It's just, no, you got to start, because I was...
Okay, well, I was sitting in the subway with, who were we with? We were with...
With me and Ed.
Edwards
and Lizzie.
Lizzie, was Addie there?
Lizzie, Alex.
No, it was just us five, I think. There was just five of us.
Okay, so it was after ice skating.
Alex,
yeah. So yes, it was the five of us.
Yeah, it was after ice skating.
No, Alex wasn't there, it was after ice skating.
So we're coming home on the subway. And I'm sitting, you know, we're just minding our own business, talking, and me, being loud and boisterous, and making sure the whole subway can hear what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, this older guy, who is obviously drunk and probably not all there to begin with, comes up to me with a slur, and he's all like, "You babies think you're bigger than me?" And I'm like, "Your babies think you're bigger than me?" And I'm like, "What?" And I start to address him, but then behind him, this younger guy kind of makes eye contact with me and kind of furrows his brow and like shushes me, like, "Shh, no, don't say anything." Like, he motions that to me, and I'm like, "Okay."
Yeah.
So I just ignore him because I was going to actually open a dialogue up with this guy, not realizing it. And,
Now, this is not like an uncommon thing in New York. I'm rarely on the subway late at night where you don't run across somebody who's drunk and a little bit crazy who's just starts yelling at you. That's not, so that's not the, that's not the crazy
thing.
Yeah,
I ignored him, and like, I figured, okay, he'll calm down and just go away. I'll just wait till he gets out of the system and move on. And all of a sudden, that agitates him even more, the fact that I'm not addressing him, apparently. And so he lets go of his little, like, trolley that he was pulling, and he starts, like,
a trolley,
like a little backpack trolley thing.
Yeah, something. Suitcase or something.
He starts going, like putting his thumbs to his face like a boxer, like, and he starts punching the air, and then he starts punching, like, the window, and he, like, comes, he's probably a good 5 feet away
he's
from my
really
head,
punchy.
his hand, once he's done punching, and so I'm like,
his hand was pretty close to your face.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
And that's what woke me up, because something sounded strange. So I'm sleeping now, like, I'm next to Frank, I got my head, like, almost on his lap, and my leg
right.
was out in front of me because I was tired. So I opened my eyes and above me fell this arm just hitting the window. And I was just like, oh, and I backed up into Frankie and I sat up and I'm waiting for this guy. And I'm in my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, he's going to punch him. This is going to be bad. We're going to need to get the police. What are we going to do? You know?
Not Doodle.
Okay, so it stops. He just stops. He just sees her, and then in the space that I just vacated by sitting up, he sits down next to me, and I'm like, oh no, oh no, we are not going to spend the rest of this ride fearing that a riot's going to break out. So I said, excuse me, sir, would you mind moving? And he was like, well, I can sit wherever. I said, it's a free country. You can sit wherever you want. You don't have to move, but I am asking you to please move to the other side of the subway platform. Well, I don't have to. You don't have to. I'm asking you to. And he gets up, and finally he moves over to the other side. And now the guy that warned Frankie about him is, like, about to bust. He's laughing so hard. And we know that if we all start laughing, this guy's going to, like, pop a gasket, you know?
But after that, he sits on the far end of the train, and so we're kind of like we're laughing, but not like outright laughing. We're talking to him, and I guess the other guy told us that another guy came in and he kind of did the same thing to him, but he was standing up, and he was all like, he went to him, and he was like, "You're good thing I'm not a murderer," and he started like air punching him, and then the guy left the train, and so. And then when he left, he said goodbye to us. He went, bye, guys. Or bye. It was so
No, he went, bye-bye.
No, he just goes, goodbye. Bye. As if we were all friends. And as soon as he left, I cursed really loudly. And the entire train just lost it. I mean, the entire subway car laughing on the floor.
Oh, my God.
About what had just gone on. It was, we're doing reenactments. We're laughing the entire way home.
It was
my
funny.
God. It was great.
It was funny, but, okay, so, because, like, there's the three of them. There's Melissa was laying down, you know, resting, and then there's Frankie sitting there, and right next to Lizzie, and Edward and I are, like, facing them, so we're, like, witnessing this whole thing. If you had just seen Melissa's, and Frankie's face was, like, torn between, oh, my God, this guy's going to kill me, and just, you know, like, I'm not going to laugh. And he was really, really good. And then, but Melissa had this expression. I wish I had a camera to, like, show this face. Because there's, like, no, no, no. You know, this shock of horror, you know, just kind of like, oh, my God, this guy just threw his fist right above my head. Kind of look of shock and surprise. And at the same time, no, I'm not putting up with this crap. No, just no. Just no. It was awesome. You were fearless, Melissa.
It was good.
It was just like, I just imagined the remaining 30 minutes of the subway ride sitting next to this guy wondering when he was going to explode and actually punch someone.
Jeez.
And being the closest thing to him.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
So I was just like, no, this can't happen. You know?
And the guy didn't look completely insane. I mean, there just seems some more, like, extreme characters in New York, but this guy looks sort of pseudo-normal. But it's like, whoa. But when he threw that fist at that window, I was like, oh, man. What are we going to do?
And it was funny. Man. I guess he thought we were making fun of him or something, because me being me, I was all loud on the subway probably imitating something, and I just got done from a stint of writing down rails on the subway thing, so I was all excited and
adrenaline
and up. And so I was like, woo!
Yeah.
So that was amazing.
So. In other news, have you signed up for LeakyCon yet, guys?
LeakyCon? What's that?
LeakyCon.
Have you done it yet? We're in the process of inviting guests, and we're going to have some great stuff coming for you soon, so I would recommend getting your LeakyCon
tickets
now. Well, now, go to LeakyCon.com, and you will get all the information.
Yeah.
Is Dan Rad coming?
No. Well, we haven't invited him, but I'm guessing not.
Well, maybe if I give him a call.
Yeah, this would make good holiday presents, too. I mean, when you're...
That'd be an amazing present.
It would, you know?
Well, the Gigan registration.
Holy moly, and a half and a totally.
I mean, exciting year. So, good. Do it. I'm excited for the Gigan. I'm going to do something about Hufflepuff, I decided.
I decided that in the absence of Duff, who we couldn't wrangle this time, that I'm going to put together some food programming.
Can I come to this class? Are you going to teach us about burritos? Or what are you
going
to do?
No. We're going to make butterbeer. Butterbeer, I think, and or cauldron cakes.
Oh, that would be fun. Cauldron cakes.
But yeah, I haven't quite worked out the details / mentioned it to anybody yet.
so it, it might not happen. But I would imagine if it does, then it would probably be a little separate sign-up that you'd all have to express your interest and, you know, pay a couple bucks for your root beer ingredients.
You know,
but I think it would be awesome.
I'm gonna
if you guys think it would be awesome, leave the comments saying so on podcast.com. But
oh, my God. Your ideas are always scary because it always involves extra effort.
It's not that
and
big
money.
A deal.
It is to have people cook. Are you
not,
kidding me?
Okay, maybe the baking would be difficult, but if we had like a butterbeer thing and everybody can make their own butterbeer and then we have a contest and we'll have judges judge the butterbeers. Frankie, you are more than welcome to be another judge. I think we all four of us could judge. But we would have prizes for the winners who make the best butterbeer.
See, I was kind of excited about the Collins Cakes. Well, obviously, I like to teach John a lot, but I must say he's actually a pretty good cook. So.
Well, I think it'd be fun to do Cauldron Cakes, too. Like, if we could just put together the Cauldron Cakes and then work out some deal with, like, the kitchen at the hotel where they would cook all of our Cauldron Cakes for us while we made our butter beers.
I'd probably be more realistic if it was pre-baked and you just decorate your Cauldron Cake.
I guess. Yeah, that would work, too, I guess.
So
we'll have to work out the details. But speaking of baking, you all tuned in here to the wrap-up, so it's time to get the Melissa and Ali's famous guacamole recipe.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's so easy. Okay, here it is. It's so, so easy. And if you want it, this serves about four people, so like if you want, it's about four servings if you want
or
to.
Or one and a half johns.
Just keep doubling it, or one and a half johns, right.
Yeah.
You need two ripe avocados, a half of a red onion that you dice, small. Two tablespoons of cilantro. You get the fresh stuff and chop it up.
You have to get the fresh stuff.
You have to. A tablespoon of fresh lime or lemon juice, and don't overdo the lime or lemon juice. It can destroy the entire batch.
It can.
Half a teaspoon of sea salt.
Yes.
I use a thing called Mediterranean sea salt from CoastalGoods.com. It's this amazing, wonderful mix, and it's the key ingredient. It's why my guac is different than
it's the Melissa's secret
guac.
Ingredient.
It's so easy. I can either use their Mediterranean sea salt or Provençal salt. It's wonderful. It's from CoastalGoods.com. But any kind of Mediterranean sea salt will work,
yes.
Or just sea salt. And you get a half a ripe tomato. You take out the middle, like the gooey seed stuff, the stuff that's like liquidy, and you use like the firm outside, and you dice that, right?
Yes.
So what you do is you mash up the avocado, and I don't like puree it. You want a few chunks because it's like
the chunks are
fresh.
Fun. It's fun to get chunks.
Yeah. Yeah. You pour in the onion, the cilantro, and the lime, and the salt.
Yes.
I never really use lemon. I always really just use the lime, but you could use either.
Yes.
And then you put the tomato in last because it doesn't really need to be mixed in for the flavor. It's just kind of a good texture thing. And that is it. That is it, my friends. It is so, so, so
it's
very
quite
good.
Tasty.
You will love it.
You will sit there while everybody else is enjoying themselves at a party and sit in front of the table in arm's reach of the guacamole for 40 minutes until you can't get up eating the guacamole.
You can see John doing that at our vlog.
If you go to our vlog this week, yeah.
Which is what you did and did not move. That's true.
Oh, it was
and
so good. I was actually playing Rock Band,
yes.
And Edward was feeding me chips with guacamole and getting it all over me.
He was.
But it was fun and worth it.
It was so fun. And then John laid down on the ground. He says, oh, my belly hurts. And it was like everyone was like, yeah, you think? You
shocked. Yeah. 10 minutes prior to eating more guacamole.
Yeah.
I'm so hungry. I want guacamole.
I made so much. What did we have? 10 avocados?
It was 10 avocados, 2 tomatoes, 2 red onions, 2 bushels of cilantro, which was a little bit much, and a lime.
Well, you got enough to make sure that we had enough. I never know how much a bushel's going to make. It can make like 2, 3, 4 bushels. You know.
Yeah, and the tomatoes were quite small, actually, and the onions were quite small.
You need to stop talking about food. I'm starving.
No, I haven't eaten yet today.
I'm starving, too.
Noon.
We haven't eaten. Maybe we'll order that Thai food.
Hey,
you
could get Thai food.
You cannot do that.
Lucky!
You cannot.
Todd's going to kill me.
If you live in Brooklyn.
All 5 years here, we never order the Thai food.
If you live in Brooklyn and you like Thai food, you need to go to this place called, like, Jolo's or whatever.
It's a freaky place.
Joya.
We're going to eat Thai food. Like, gone. This Thai food's so Thai-rific.
I will have Mushka murder.
That's
going
to be my vlog today.
Oh,
screw the one I did already. No one needs to know what
I
call frack. I'm going to have just 10 minutes of me eating Thai food.
we're going to order it.
That
last
Frankie is so evil.
You guys suck.
I'm just being mean.
Because poor Don, we tried the whole time, but you're going to be back here.
You didn't try.
Well, I told you every time you can order it whenever you want, and you just never went ahead and did it. So we're going to go get some, and we'll video ourselves eating.
Oh, you're serious. You're serious. You're really going to do
I'm
this.
I'm serious. I really feel like I want some.
I want now.
Oh, my God.
I've been eating so crappily the past week because of all you guys being here, so I might as well.
I know. I probably gained 15 pounds. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's just bad.
Yeah, I think we all gained some weight, actually.
Yeah.
That's, you have fun with each other, that's all.
That's true, that's what we do.
Yes. When getting fat.
So, oh, hey, speaking of, speaking of nothing, the myth-busting for this
Oh, yeah, what is it?
So basically, in the USA Today article, I said, the woman asked me if I thought there was ever, like, a slim chance that J.K. Rowling would write another Harry Potter book. And I said, I think there's, like, a really slim chance, and if she does, it would probably be about...
Albus
Severus Potter. The way it was phrased in the USA Today article, it said, I think there may be, and it will be about Albus Severus Potter. So then, in another story, it said, Melissa says the eighth book will be about Albus Severus Potter, and then the next article that picked up the USA Today article in, like, Australia said she even told her about the reported eighth Harry Potter book about Albus Severus Potter or something. It was just so amusing watching the mash that the telephone game guys, it's not from any knowledge, anything. I have no privileged knowledge. I just guessed.
That's amazing.
So, that's it. Isn't it funny? I couldn't believe it. There's a reported eighth Harry Potter book.
You reported it, Melissa.
I reported it. It just shows you what happens. You can't guess because people, it's like a little misunderstanding gets compounded and compounded and compounded, and all of a sudden there's an eighth Harry Potter book.
Right. And the thing is now that it's being carried like a lot of these like pop 1 minute things that you'll see on certain websites and stuff, and it's like, it is a fact that it's coming. It's going to be about this. And it's just, I'm so far from away from what it was said. It's not even...
I emailed Fiddy. I was like, look, I'm sorry. this rumor is going to go around. I swear I didn't say it. Like, I'm sorry. You know, but they know, you know. So
she said it was okay.
Hey, I have something to add. I got an email recently from somebody talking about something we talked about on the show last week about the Potter Park, about how fun it would be to have a wand that would influence the park.
Yeah, that's right.
Someone says that there's already a place that you can go called Magic Quest, that they actually give you a wand, and you do pretty much exactly the things we were talking about doing around the park. It's in Myrtle Beach. They say you get your own wand, you get a magical name, and the wand is yours to keep, and it keeps track of all your magical quests and all the points you earn.
Whoa.
Where is Myrtle Beach?
Amazing.
Oh, it's been South Carolina. Or North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah.
South Carolina.
If you go to Magic, or MAGIQUEST.com. I guess that technology, I suppose, is there, and it'd be almost silly at this point if we don't see it at the Potter Park. But
that was nice, John.
Don't quote me on that.
issue a missive, a directive.
The prime directive from Pottercast. No, I'm joking. I'm sure they'll come up with something equally, if not more fun.
Wow.
All right.
Anywho,
are we out of topics?
I think we're out.
Hey, we had a great time spending the election together on the 4th.
Oh, it was so fun! I can't wait to see the Frankie Duel vlog of the day.
I just went to that website and it's pretty intense.
Guys, we have like 1,000. We have like 1,000 subscribers.
That's ridiculous.
It's like 1/70th of our podcast subscriptions.
I know. Seriously, people, 1,000 is great, but we know that.
Oh, my God.
Go to youtube.com/podcast. No, we're serious. Every day we have a Potter-related, sometimes marginally-related, Potter vlog, and on Wednesdays, just something. So the last 2 weeks, the Wednesdays have just been stuff that I've had on my computer because we've all been so busy. So, but we do have other Wednesday stuff to come soon.
Word up.
I liked it. If you go to Melissa's last one, she has a really cool one. I know if you're film fans, if you want to check out some of the actors, it's really awesome. Of our friend Jamie.
That was fun.
Very good. And Devin and Matt.
Matt Lewis and Jamie and Devin.
Brilliant.
I have so much. I have it, Matt doing a magic trick on there. Perfect. I never knew where to put this.
Now here you go.
The miracle of YouTube, everyone. There we go. Yay!
Holla back.
Love it. Holla back, baby.
While you're there, sign up for room 3428.
Yes.
See other Lucy's at them. Talking.
There's a lot of me this week in Lucy's blog.
Is there?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes, John. Provide the incentive.
There's not. That's not the only effing incentive.
Okay, we're gonna get out of here.
Yes.
I got some time for you guys.
I got some time for to eat.
I hope you fall.
I can taste it now.
Oh. What did you say,
John. Rita? You don't fall on your head like Rita.
No, John.
Meanie.
That's uncalled for. Guess until next time, if you're not already full of Thai food, keep twiddling those dials.
The next password will be YouTube.
Keep each other safe.
Keep faith.
Good night. We've missed it.
Dobby is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
This week's podcast was produced by the Podcast Trio and Steve Bonnet. Thanks to our Scooby 5 team, Aaron and Nina, and thanks, as always, to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and all our other episodes on podcast.com. For more information about the show and how to contact us and be a part of future episodes, visit podcast.com.